Enjoy that song. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. And we do have several out tonight sick. And some got sick this morning. I think Brother Mosley and Miss Charlene got sick. And our oldest boys sick. And remember each other in prayer. And keep our church family on your prayer list. Ephesians chapter 5. And we are going to finish up this chapter tonight, Lord willing. And be able to move on to the sixth chapter. Tonight, the message is going to be very much familiar to you, as we cover some familiar ground. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Let's go ahead and start in verse 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight again for your love. We ask that you would be with us tonight as we look into your word. And Lord, as we address the relationships of marriage tonight and the relationship between the church and you, we ask, God, that you would just place it upon our hearts and some of these areas that we might need to improve upon and apply to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the book of Ephesians, first three chapters dealing with our wealth in Christ, Paul primarily dealing with the doctrine. And then here in the last three chapters, chapters 4 through 6, Paul deals with our walk in Christ. We talked about walk worthy, walk in love, walk in the light, and walk circumspectly. So he's dealing with the application in our personal lives of how we should live, how we should act. And here he deals, listen to this, primarily with the relationship between Christ and his church. That's primarily what's being discussed here. That's the mystery that Paul's referring to here. But secondarily, he's dealing with marriage and the marriage relationship between a husband and the wife. Again, as we look at these verses, the Christian life should produce family relationships like those between Christ and the church. So the relationship that Christ has with his church is a mirror image of how our relationship should be with our family and with our wife and with our spouse. Amen? That relationship. And that's what the illustration is here found in the Word of God. The Christian husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. The church. The church is referred to as the bride in the New Testament. One of the ways in which Paul illustrates the church for us. And likewise, the wife should be in subjection to her own husband as the church is unto Christ. Alright, so let's look back at these verses for just a moment. I read verse 21 because a lot of times preachers have left out the context there. It first says, first off, that we ought to submit to each other. We ought to submit to each other. Each one of us submitting to each other and to their needs and my needs and meeting those needs of our spouses. Listen, you ought to go into every relationship that way. What can I do for you? Not what you can do for me. The longer we're married, it seems that we become more selfish, don't we? We take things for granted, don't we? And we need to be careful that we are submitting to each other and to the needs of that other. But verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. I've always said that if a husband will treat his wife like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. But let me tell you that the Bible says no matter what, it doesn't have any conditions there. It doesn't say if your husband treats you right or if your husband does this or that, that you should submit to him. It just says submit as unto the Lord. Toughen, isn't it? That's not politically correct anymore, especially verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But this is absolutely how the Lord and how God put things in order for society to not only survive, but to thrive. He put governments in order. Kings, lords, dukes, subjects. I mean, we have that order, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, King, lords, dukes, subjects. That's the authority that's been given. Amen? God is the head of all. Same thing in the church. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have the pastor, we have the deacons, and we have the congregation. That's the order of authority in the church. Amen? In the home, there's an order of authority in which God has placed in that home, and that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the husband, the wife, and children. Amen? Again, I know that's not politically correct today. And if people are listening on the internet, I'm a male chauvinist. I understand that. But that's where the Bible states. And I'm telling you, society not only will survive, but society will thrive if we will subject ourselves to those authorities. Wives, your family will be much better off if you will just subject yourself to that authority. As unto the Lord. Not whether your husband deserves it or not. Now, we go on and we see that, you know, a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And listen, husbands, if you'll love your wife as Christ loved the church and be selfless and caring and kind to her, she'll have no problem being submissive unto you. Man, it's awful quiet. I'm up here all by myself. My wife's not in here, so I can say anything, right? But this is absolutely the order in which God has placed it. I've always, and again, the Bible never says that the wife is a subordinate. The wife has just simply a different role. I have a book in my library called Equal Yet Different. Equal Yet Different. It's not that the wife is, it's not that the husband's any smarter than the wife, because a lot of times it's just the opposite, right? Come on, ladies. I threw you a bone there. Come on. It has nothing to do with intelligence. Amen. It has to do with the role in which God has placed you. And if you will submit yourselves to the role in which God has placed you, your family will be much better for it. For instance, a husband who won't take the lead in his home, and that is pretty often today, that family suffers for it. I see it all the time. I'm like, man, you know, put your britches on, man. You know? We call them henpecked. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get in trouble now. I'm just telling you, a man ought to step up and lead his home. Let me tell you this. A husband who will lead spiritually will also lead in every other area. A husband who will take the spiritual leadership of his home, the wife will follow. Every time. You say, every time, Pastor? I'm saying every time. Or else that family won't last. I'm telling you, every time. Husband needs to take the lead of that home. And I'm telling you, wives, listen now. You need to encourage that. If your husband's not taking that leadership role, instead of you stepping in and taking it, which is what happens most of the time, encourage that husband to take it. You know how to do that. Amen. I'm telling the family, because this is the way the Lord and God has set it up. This is the way in which He has set up the family. This is the authority of the church. It works same thing in the church. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the pastor, deacons, and the congregation. And if those ever get switched, there are churches in which the deacons run the church. If those ever switch, or which the pastor is switched down below, if those things ever switch, the church is worse off for it. Let me just take just a moment, and I don't mean to, because I'm the pastor here, I it's hard for me to say it, but we believe in a pastor-led church. Because the Bible teaches a pastor-led church. Not a dictatorship. A pastor's stupid if he's a dictator. Right? But a pastor-led church. Because when the roles reverse, the church is worse off for it. And in the home, when those roles reverse, the home is worse off for it. Follow the biblical pattern. Follow the biblical pattern. God always has your best interest in mind, and He set up this pattern so that society, the family, the church, and government could function correctly and thrive. Amen. Look at verse 22 again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Again, if you'll look at it that way, that you're submitting not because of what your husband's done, but you're submitting because the Lord said so, because you're submitting as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. I just gave you that authority. Christ is the head. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, pastor, deacon, and congregation. And He is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, amen, we are subject unto Christ as a church, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. Everything. I'm telling you, wives, you're better off letting your husband make a mistake than to buck him in a decision. Is that what it says? Everything. You say, well, my husband's stupid. I realize from time to time we're pretty stupid. I shouldn't use the S word. We're pretty dumb. But follow the biblical pattern. Follow the biblical pattern. If your husband is wise, though, he will seek counsel and you'll make those decisions together. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I'm telling you right now, husbands, your wife knows whether you give your life for her. And if she believes it and knows it, it sure will make a difference in how she treats you. Amen? Amen. Would you give your life for your wife? Give your life for your children? Absolutely. Most of us would say absolutely. Love her. Love her. Even as Christ also loved the church. And what? He died for the church. So selfless is Christ. So should we be so selfless as husbands. Selfless with our wives, selfless with our kids. Always looking upon their needs before we look for our needs. Making sure they're taken care of before we're taken care of. Still quiet. I told you this is stuff we covered, but it's always tough, isn't it? Look there again, verse 26, that ye might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, talking about the church. The church is going to be sanctified and cleansed. We're looking forward to that day. Amen? By the washing of the water by the word. Let me again remind you that this is like water to your spiritual life. As the priests would come to the temple to go into the holy place, they would come to that brazen laver, and that brazen laver had mirrors on it and had water in it. And they would come to that laver and they would look in the mirror and they would wash their faces off. They would wash their bodies. They would make sure that when they went into the holy place that they were clean. This is the brazen laver, the Word of God. This is the place where you get washed. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about as Christians, us being cleansed by His Word. Amen? The more you read it, I'm telling you, and I use this illustration all the time, but every day we rub shoulders with individuals, and we read things, we see things, even sometimes we don't mean to see. We hear things we shouldn't hear, sometimes even on accident, and we get dirty, spiritually speaking. And it's the Word of God, when we get up in the mornings and we read our devotional time, it's the Word of God that washes that and cleanses us. Amen? And keeps us pure before God and holy before God. Again, the Bible says that one day the church will be presented before God, spotless, without blemish. Verse 27 says that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Boy, absolutely. Looking forward to that day, stand before God without blemish, without spot, holy. Amen? The Christian, as a member of Christ's body, will be sanctified, cleansed, and presented to Christ. Perfect. Perfect. I'm telling you, it's hard for us as Christians to totally comprehend what it means to be saved. I am justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. My standing before God is perfect because I am in Christ. My state is still, I'm still a sinner, absolutely. My state is imperfect, but my standing before God is perfect. And the question was asked of me again a while ago, what about our sins when we get to heaven? Listen, when we get to heaven, we have no sins. Those sins have been washed away. I'll give an account for my works, absolutely. I'll give an account for my life. There will be a reckoning, even as a Christian. But for my works, not for my sins. You say, well, what's the difference? There's a difference. And then my works will be judged upon whether they were good or bad. Amen? I'm telling you, we'll be presented before Him, spotless, without blemish, one day before Christ, before God. Look with me in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. A man instinctively provides for the comfort of his own body. Amen. He protects it. He heeds its signals sometimes. It may take him a while to go to the doctor, but he knows the signals. He desires its well-being. Depending on how he treats his body is whether his life is happy or miserable. I'm just kind of walking that tightrope, you know, like some of us do. Amen. You listen, a man will give anything for his life, the Bible says. Anything. Wouldn't you? What does that verse say? So ought men to love their wives as their what? Their own bodies. We should protect her. We should heed her signals. You've got to learn how to speak woman. We never totally figure it out. But you've got to learn how to speak woman. We absolutely speak different languages. We do. Men are wired one way, women are wired another. We just speak different languages. You've got to learn what that, you've got to learn what the look means. Right? Amen. You know what? And I used this the other day. If you can learn the statistics for Tony Romo or whomever, you can certainly learn the language of your wife. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to put things in perspective. You know, we men make the same mistakes over and over again, it seems like. Just learn what your, you know, do, let's say, for instance, tonight, do you know my wife's birthday is Tuesday? She's turning 36. We've been married 18 years. Yeah, just we're young people. Would you know right now what to purchase your wife for birthday? Do you know what she likes? I know this is simple stuff. I'm just saying, do you know what she likes? I mean, have you got to that place where you're able to read her and know what she likes? You know? And not come home with umbrellas. You know what I'm saying? We were talking about this the other day with one of the members. I forget who it was. First Christmas present I bought my wife was a sweatsuit outfit. Y'all remember the story? And it was from like a little dollar type store called Bill's. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that. It used to be, Bill's used to be, it's a country type store. I don't think they're around anymore. And, went in there. Of course, we didn't have a dime. You know, went in and there was a green sweatsuit outfit. I think the bottom you could buy separately. You know, the bottoms were like $2 and the top was like a dollar. And they didn't match exactly the green in them. It was just one of them was a little more faded than the other. That's what I got my wife for her first Christmas. Of course, you know, as a man, I didn't wrap it. I just left it in the sack and said, Merry Christmas. I was 18. I didn't know anything. But, from the time I was 18 and 18 years later, I think at some point you ought to be able to speak your wife's language. I'm being serious. You ought to absolutely know the signs of when she's not feeling well or the signs in which she's irritated or the signs in which she wants to be hugged or signs in which she wants to be kissed or... You know, you should know those things by now. You got to work at those things. And I'm certainly not perfect at it, but you ought to take the time to do that. You know what? It wouldn't hurt if you don't know just to sit down and talk to your wife about it. She loves to talk anyway. You'd be surprised what she might tell you. Really? Really? I mean, take the time. Protect her. Heed her. By the way, one of the absolute five greatest needs in a lady's life is security. The survey was taken, one of the top five needs of a woman is absolutely security. She wants that security. Do you give that to her? Do you give that protection, security for her? Do you heed her signals? Do you desire her well-being? By the way, she can make your life happy or miserable. Amen. Then men, let's do it right. Let's love her as Christ loved the church. Let's heed the signals in which she gives us. Treat her like a queen. Provide for her needs. Protect her. Love her as you love your own body. Verse 29 says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." The Lord takes care of His church, and so should we take care of our spouses. Nourish them and cherish them. Nourish them and cherish them. The church is the love of His life. I'm talking about the Lord. The center of His thoughts and the object of His purposes. Christ died for the church, and so should the husband for his wife. Verse 30. "For we are members of His body, of His flesh and His bones." We are members of the body of Christ. By the way, the body of Christ is not some universal, invisible church out there. The body of Christ is Heritage Baptist Church, Victory Baptist Church, Worth Baptist Church. We are members of that body. And because of this union, I can love my wife as Christ loved the church. Why? How can I love my wife as Christ loved the church? Because of the Holy Spirit. This all goes back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's the Spirit of God that will enable you to love your wife, to love your spouse as you ought to. Verse 31 is a repeat of Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 through 24. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Again, the Bible says that when you get married, you become one flesh. One flesh. By the way, when you get saved, you become a son of God. A son of God. Marriage makes a man and his wife. We are to be one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen? We have some of our young couples gone tonight. I wish they were here. But for those of you who are here, one of the problems I usually have come into my office after a couple gets married, usually, not all the time, is when a couple comes to my office after being married maybe 3 or 4 years, and the husband or the wife finally get fed up with the in-laws. It happens. Leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife. Right? I absolutely love going to my dad for advice. But I'm going to ask my wife for advice before I ask my dad for advice. What does she think? Right? Young married couples, we've got a few in here. Be careful about saying, you know, we joke about it, but about saying, you know, my mama cooked better than this. Except for in my house, when we first got married, it's like, my dad cooked better than this, you know? There's still a couple times I'll eat something my wife has cooked and I just hold my tongue. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Leave father and mother, cleave unto your wife. Cleave unto each other. They twain shall be one flesh. And then let's end it. Verse 33. Again, the mystery there is the illustration he's giving here between Christ and his church. All of the illustration he's given here about how Christ loved the church, gave his life for the church. The husband's to give his life for his wife. I mean, the illustration is all there. Christ loves his church. Christ gave his life for the church. One day, the church, the bride of Christ, will be presented before him spotless and without blemish. We are sons of God, joint heirs with him. Verse 31. This is the mystery concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that he reverence her husband." Again, Paul just gets real practical here. Husband, love your wife as you love yourself. Are you doing that tonight? I'm just talking about when the rubber meets the road, how do you treat your wife? Do you love her as Christ loved the church? Do you love her even as you love your own body? Do you love her? Are you selfless towards her? Wife, do you reverence your husband? Here's a good term now. Listen to this one. Do you put him on a pedestal? A survey was done. One of the top five needs of a man is praise. You wouldn't think that, would you? The male ego? But it absolutely is. And wives, listen. You ought to be your husband's best cheerleader. Honestly. Like I said a while ago, he's going to make mistakes, and sometimes you see that he's going to make mistakes, let him make them anyway, you know? Be his cheerleader. Be his encourager. Put him on a pedestal. Make much of him. Speak well of him. You should never speak bad of your husband to anyone. That's what it says. Reverence your husband. Are you listening? When you get together with your little group of ladies and you start having your husband as a meal, that's wrong. Reverence your husband. Reverence your husband. That word also has to do with deferring to him. Defer to him. In decisions, in whatever area of life and making those decisions, defer to him. I absolutely believe because of the way God set the authority up, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, pastor, deacon, congregation, I as a pastor will give an account for this church. More so than you will as an individual member. As a husband, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, husband, wife, children, husband, you're going to give an account. Rewards or loss of rewards. Amen? For how you dealt with your family. You say, well, but my wife, understand, you're the head of the house. You'll give an account. How does all this come about? How are we to apply this in our personal life? How are we to go about doing this? I mean, it's impossible. Pastor, I've tried. I've tried to love my husband and do all these things. And husbands, you say, well, I've tried to treat her like a queen, bring her home flowers, do all these things. By the way, bring her home some flowers every once in a while. It makes a big difference. I don't know of a woman yet that doesn't like flowers. She'll say, oh, don't bring me home any flowers. She don't mean it. She don't mean it. Can't you read her language? Okay. Now, maybe she's a little skimpy, and she wants, you know, just bring her home one flower if she is, you know. $3. I tell you, bring home a dozen, see what happens. Amen? That shouldn't happen once a year on Valentine's Day, guys. How are we to be the husband and be the wife that we ought to be? Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Right? Think of that triangle again. I know we use this a lot, but think of the triangle. Think of the triangle. Man on this side, wife on this side, God at the top. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. As you develop your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with each other will become closer. How are we to function as a family and do it right and stay on the right track? Get closer to God. Be filled with the Spirit. And God will bless that. God will bless your family. Wives, there's a role for you. Husband, there's a role for you, a God-given role. Equal yet different. If you want your family to be blessed, stay within your role. Stay within those perimeters. God will bless it. Let's all stand.